the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA, Aussie owned, made for South Australia.
Hi everyone and welcome to Sports Day on this Tuesday evening. The week's open line 8223 0000. Save $45,000 on your next home with Weeks Homes. That's the number to call if you want to have a chat to my co-host, who everyone wants to speak to. Been doing this for 45 years now, Ken KG Cunningham. Ken, nice to see you.
You too, Benny. What a day. What a day in the tennis world, Benny. What a day.
It's a massive story. We might get to it because Kokkinakis and Kyrgios have won the double, so that puts them through to the semi-finals. They beat Tim Putz and Michael Venus today. This was on Kia Arena, so it's essentially the fourth court. It's a new court at Melbourne Park. It was absolutely going off like a sock today. Just have a listen to Tanasi Kokkinakis after play.
Mate, I don't know. I haven't played in a doubles match, even a singles match, with atmosphere like this. Hopefully Craig's watching and keeps us on this court. The rowdier, the better from everyone, honestly. Sink, piss and come here.
There you are. So we encourage responsible drinking here, unlike Tanasi Kokkinakis.
Correct.
But, I mean, there is something about those two blokes together that puts backsides on seats.
Well, the special case. In fact, I was listening to an interview this morning, as I mentioned before coming to air, with Pat Rafter, and he made the point that tennis over the years has been a bit pedestrian, if you like. You know, wonderful players and Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, and so on and so forth. He said, but what these two young men are doing, they're bringing entertainment into the world of tennis. And I sat down and thought about it. Now, I've been so critical at times of Kyrgios. He's carried on like an idiot at times. But I tell you what, he's got an unbelievable drawing power. And if he can just keep it within the guidelines, they'll be great for tennis. Absolutely.
It does go too far sometimes, Nick Kyrgios, and he incites the fans, and then they start becoming a bit offensive to the opposition player. But I'm just glad this match was three sets. I want to take you through a bit of it. I was having a bit of a think about this today as well. So I want to give you the list of the guys that are going to be playing five-set tennis from here on in the men's singles draw. Matteo Berrettini. Do you want to see him play for 4 hours?
No.
Probably not. What about Jannik Sinner? Now, there's a stuffed shirt if ever you've met one.
Well, he is, but a wonderful player.
Felix Auger-Aliassime. You're delighted to see him go around for 4.5 hours, slugging it from the baseline. What about, Stefanos Tsitsipas? He's probably entertaining for maybe an hour or two. Gael Monfils, not too bad. Dennis Shapovalov just lost today to Rafael Nadal. But none of those guys are really grabbing your attention for 4 hours, are they?
Well, they're not entertainers in the true sense of the word. These two kids have got a great mix between the two personalities, and they do something for the crowd, they do something for the spectators, and they're getting bums on seats. And look, I've been very critical of Kyrgios, and I'll put up my hand, but if he can control himself, this is a brand new era for tennis.
It actually occurred to me, unless it's Nadal versus Federer, or the absolute elites of the sport, Borg versus McEnroe, you know what I've decided I do not want to see anymore?
What's that?
Five-set tennis in the men.
Well, I don't want
Everyone to... says that women should be playing five-set. I actually want to go the other way.
No.
I am sick of seeing 4.5 hour matches. So Fritz played Tsitsipas last night, the distance, finished just before midnight. Mm. I watched bits and pieces of it because you know what I was watching? What? I was watching two separate women's matches and I thought they were both fantastic. 2 hour package if you go to three sets, and I reckon it's actually a bit more entertaining. There's a bit more nuance to the women's game as well. It's not just power play from the back of the court.
No.
You see a few angles. You see girls who just don't have the power with the serve, so they've got to come up with other ways through. I'm finding the women's draw far more interesting than the men's side of the draw at the moment, and I think it's in part because they play three sets, that's all I need to see.
Well, they wouldn't want to go to five sets because that wouldn't be the way to go, that's for sure. I don't mind the men's sets going to five, but not the ladies, no.
Let me just take you through the women's draw to come. So we've got Ash Barty, the Aussie. I mean, we just love watching
her, don't we?
Matt, she'll play Madison Keys if she wins tonight.
I saw her this morning.
The comeback kid. And we've got young lad Cameron Ottenhoff, who's a young budding journalist in the room with us today. He's interviewed Madison Keys and says she's the nicest kid of all time. Danielle Collins will play Elise Cornet. That match will be tomorrow. That will be as fiery as they come.
Cornet was fantastic when beating Halep.
These two girls girls are all emotion on court. They're far more interesting than anything the men are going to deliver. And then Iga Swiatek, the Pole, who has won the French Open, will play the Estonian Kaia Kanepi. Kanepi beat Sabalenka last night. It was very, very late. It was the match that got shuffled from Rod Laver Arena onto court number two, Margaret Court Arena. There was no one there, and it was a dead set shame because that was a wonderful match with two emotion-packed people. We don't get emotion in men's tennis. It goes for too long. I'm going to ask anyone to take me on. Surely women's tennis right now is in a lot better shape than men's tennis, Cage.
Well, yeah, you can give us a call. You can ring about that. You can ring about Kyrgios and Kokkinakis. What are your thoughts on them? Do you love them? Do you enjoy the way they go? Give us a call.
For Barbecues Galore, shop online and in-store at Barbecues Galore. The range, the price, the knowledge. Now you are cooking. Cage, I noticed you walked in a little bit stroppy today as well, and I don't think it's just the hot weather that's offended you. You're still a little bit concerned that maybe Justin Langer won't be the ongoing coach of the Australian cricket team.
Didn't the Cricket Australia make the point that they would look at extending or not extending Langer's contract as Australian coach once the Ashes series was over? Well, the series is over. What are they waiting for? Is it a yes or is it a no? Make a call on it, for goodness sake.
Well, what do you think it should be?
Well, it's a no-brainer, Ben. No-brainer in my book. Extend it. Goodness gracious me. Look at the coach of England, Chris Silverwood. He's going to get the flick, and so he should. Absolutely nothing. But Justin Langer should get the job, and Cricket Australia should have the balls to make the announcement now.
So Justin Langer, my goodness, the table nearly fell off. You punched it that hard.
God.
So let me just get this straight, because Chris Silverwood loses Ashes away in Australia on very, very difficult conditions.
Yep.
They had to do COVID-related quarantining on the way in.
One or two players injured.
No Jofra Archer. So Chris Silverwood, because of that, out. And Justin Langer, solely because Australia won, where everything was prime for them, they would have had to fall over themselves to lose that series. Justin Langer gets extended.
The T20 World Cup, our first win in that competition. We've smashed the England side. And for Chris Silverwood to be the sole selector on tour was an absolute joke.
You're comparing apples with oranges here. I just want to get back onto Langer. So, yes, we won the World Cup, which was in the Middle East, Abu Dhabi, I think it was.
Doesn't
matter where it was. But I'll tell you what did matter is winning the toss and batting second. Basically, every team who won that in that competition batted second. Australia won a truckload of tosses there, and I think that was as lucky as anything. Then on top of that, we won an Ashes series that would have been a flat-out embarrassment to lose.
Well, Ben, you can only beat who you play. That's all you've got to do. Yeah, there can be excuses for the pandemic. I understand and accept all that. But no, they won the T20 World Cup, won it in fine style. They smashed the Poms. He can't do any more than he's done. He changed his attitude. He's now relegating stuff out. He's done all that, which the players want. Some sookie la-las. He's changed his way. What more do they want?
He has been coached for 4 years. He's had a very, very good 6 months. But let's remember that a second-rate India came out here last year and absolutely rissoled us.
Cringes.
And your point about the sookie la-la players, I haven't heard too many of them coming out and absolutely defending to the hilt Justin Langer and that they need him to be the next coach.
Well, I heard Pat Cummings say the other day, we love Justin Langer.
He was he had his arm twisted behind his back. Oh, what else can he say? I mean, he can't say, he's a dud.
Well, hang on. But he said a month before that, when he was asked that same question, he said, now is not the time to discuss it. And everybody jumped on the bandwagon saying, that's gone. Langer's dead in the water. It was also coming out of the English change rooms. He is the man for the job.
We're interested in your thoughts as well. The week's open line, 8223 00 00. Do you agree with KG? Justin Langer should continue as the coach of the Australian cricket team. I'm not so sure. And I just feel like we've actually got some possible options around the place.
Who are they?
I think Trevor Bayliss would be a very, very good coach for Australia. I think Andrew McDonald, a former South Australian Redbacks cricketer.
Doesn't want the job, Ben. He's refused. He said, I'm not interested.
He could take a part of the job, and I think he'd be very comfortable in it.
Give him the white ball. I'm not against splitting the two jobs. No, not at all.
So you think it's got to be one job for all three?
No. I'm saying, even the point, a coach for the white ball game and a coach for the Test arena.
Who would be, if you're saying that Andrew McDonald doesn't want the job, who would be your coach for the white ball game?
Andrew McDonald.
So Andrew McDonald, you're happy him to do a part of the job and Justin Langer to do the rest?
The Test matches, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story.
What's the most important in those games? Test cricket.
Let's just take a bit of a tennis update. Thanks to the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. There's just a little bit more audio that I want to hear you from Nick Kyrgios, who's been on absolute fire over the course of the day today.
When we were young, playing on the 12s, we grew up in Melbourne Park, and to say that we did it together, semi-finals, and I'm not finished. I want to win this.
That's where he messes himself up. He doesn't need to say that.
It's absolutely wrong to be dropping F-bombs on court. There's kids there. Correct. They're impressionable.
He doesn't need to do it. The people love him.
Craig has called in. He wants to talk about Justin Langer and wants to talk about tennis matches. Craig, welcome to Sports Day.
Yeah, thanks. Good evening, guys. Justin Langer, I think, has done a fantastic job, whether people like him or not. He's to be pretty hard-nosed in his approach to the game because it's a hard-nosed game. And if you look at the record over the last couple of years, it ain't too bad.
It's not too bad, but we did lose at home to India last year. We had a very good series against England, who've been terrible at Test cricket for the last 12 months. Yes, we won a World Cup. I find that hard to argue with, but it hasn't been a great record the last 12 months, Craig.
Oh, no coach is ever superlative. Simple as that. You know, we have our ups and downs, and you win some, you lose some, and losing to India at home was not handy at all, but they were in pretty fair nick at the time.
They were, they played
but,
well.
Just quickly switching over to tennis length of matches and so forth, can we please, please, please do away with the first serve fault? You have one serve, if it goes in, great, if it's not, it's a point to your opponent, and you move on, because that was waste so much time in a five set or any set of tennis, for that matter.
Not bad, Craig. Very good point. Thank you for your call. What do you think, KG?
Well, I've never thought about that, to be honest.
Tell you what else I wouldn't mind seeing. What about, and I know they do this a bit in some modified forms of the game, but what about it gets to deuce, next point wins? What's wrong with that?
Oh, no. I think that's a part of tennis.
My goodness. Yeah, there are parts of tennis that really upset me.
And
one of it is five sets that just go forever and ever and ever when two blokes are slugging it from the back of the court, and I don't see a lot of variety. I don't see a lot of emotion.
The other thing that annoys me about tennis is the underarm serve, which is an absolute ridiculous idea.
KG, we're going to get to a break. We want to get just quickly through some tennis scores. We might do that on the other side of the break, thanks to the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. Big show coming up as well, because Maeve Plouffe is coming on the show. She has finished third today in the Festival
in the cycling.
Of Cycling.
Mm.
And we're going to take a look at the 36 as Todd Withers, the young lad, the American import.
Yeah, they're
a bit disappointing last night,
but
I've got a bit of hope for them. So all ahead in the show. So don't go away. You're listening to Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
The week's open line is 822-3000. You can save a massive $45,000 on all next-gen homes. Visit weeks.com.au. Have your say. If you want to agree with KG that Justin Langer should be continuing as coach of Australia, if you think maybe, you know, there's some other options around the place.
You want to agree with Benny?
I wouldn't mind searching the market. Hey, just a couple of quick Australian Open scores. Rafael Nadal has beaten Denis Shapovalov, the Canadian, in five sets. So
five sets.
I think Shapovalov may have actually been two sets to one up there. So that's it was two sets all. Nadal won the first two. Shapovalov won the next two, and Nadal's won the fifth set, 6-3.
Would have been a tough match. Yeah.
The left-handed Denis Shapovalov. Can you believe two Canadians in the last eight? So the other one, you probably don't know his name, is Felix Auger-Aliassime. The two Italians and two Canadians in the final eight of the Australian Open.
Where
that's unusual.
Where the Browns and Smiths gone to this world?
Yannick Sinner. You're not a Yannick Sinner fan?
Oh, I'm a fan of his tennis.
Matteo Berrettini?
No.
So that is from the men's draw. So the other men's match tonight will be Gael Monfils, who takes on Matteo Berrettini. So France v Italy, that'll be a good game. In the women's draw, the quarterfinal, there's only one played so far. That was Madison Keys has defeated Barbora Krejcikova.
I saw that this morning.
Krejcikova, of course, a former French Open winner. Madison Keys was the child star of American tennis, who was sort of dropped off a bit, but she is in career form in this Australian Open.
Just give the trophy now to Ash Barty.
Well, she'll play Madison Keys. She's got to win tonight. She'll play Jess Pegula tonight. And if she wins, she'll meet Madison Keys. Mm. And there's a bottle of, I don't know, I'll put a bottle of anything you like on it.
Okay.
I'll take Keys over Barty.
Shaw Smith Sauvignon Blanc.
Done. And that'll be Thursday night. So I'll see you in a couple of nights. And I'll be looking forward to collecting on that because I reckon Madison Keys is going to win this tournament. Hey, on Tuesdays, Cage, we like to play Tuesday True or False.
True or False.
If your car is feeling like a sauna, for expert air conditioning service, book in at repcoservice.com. Well, we've already moved on from number one. Ash Barty will win the Australian Open. True or false?
It is absolute truth.
It's false, if you ask me. The Strikers will win the BBL finals.
Now, that is true as well. They've hit fine form right at the precise moment. They're almost unbeatable.
Perth Scorchers will win that. BBL should move away from all video reviews. I had this argument last night. I think we would be better off player honesty system and the umpires make the decisions
That's
on everything
false.
Else. That's true. The Crows' new base will be in Brompton. I think you've got a bit of mail on this.
Well, yeah, I was warming to saying true, but I've got to say I think it's false now.
Oh, gee, that'd be a worry because I reckon that'd be
and
a great
if,
spot
if they
for
do
them.
Miss, it's a joke. Absolute joke.
Dare I suggest, I think they made a bit of a blue when they probably took the council on the wrong way with the swimming centre at North Adelaide. I reckon that might be one that they should try
that's
and
where
revisit.
That's where the headquarters should have been, with the swimming centre.
One or two different people involved. The Crows will win the AFLW flag, true or false, KG?
That is true. They're in absolutely scintillating form, 3 out of 3 thus far.
And Port Adelaide will have a slow start to the season if Charlie Dixon and Orazio Fantasia are both out.
Just talking to a friend of ours in the studio here, and that worries me now that both Dixon and the other boy, Fantasia, are going under the knife. That's not a good sign pre-season, and that might be true. That might be true.
If your car is feeling like a sauna, for expert air conditioning service, book into your local Repco authorised service centre at repcoservice.com. Now, I'm going to do something special, and this young fella doesn't even know what's going on. I've brought in a young mate of mine, Cameron Ottenoff, who's a very talented, young, budding, up-and-coming journalist, and I'm going to bring him onto the microphone here. Just talking to that. Cameron Ottenoff, say hello to South Australia.
G'day, how are we?
Thanks for joining us, mate. Now, you know a bit about your sport. I want you to tell me the story about your dalliance, if you like, with Madison Keys.
Yes, I was working at Adelaide International, running all the press conferences there, and I was able to interview Madison Keys as no journalists actually rocked up to her interview, unfortunately. So I thought, well, my time to shine.
What was she like?
Beautiful. Really, like, really, really lovely girl. Spoke about her tough year last year and how she's come into herself this year, loving tennis again, and just spoke really, really well.
Tell me a bit about yourself, Cam. To declare, Cameron and I have both done a little bit of work at Flinders University together. That's how we caught up. So you're still a student at Flinders University?
6 more months to go.
Just tell me what you're studying.
Bachelor of Media and Communications.
Okay, so there you are, and that's why you're here today. And you've been helping me out with a podcast, doing a wonderful job. Tell us a bit more about yourself and what your major sporting interests are.
Yeah, I love my footy, love my sport in general. Whether it's Minnesota, I love my Minnesota sports, Timberwolves and my Vikings.
And don't tell me, don't dare tell me, Cam, who you bag for in AFL footy.
Port Adelaide forever, always.
No, well, you've lost a few brownie points.
That was a rookie mistake, wasn't it?
Very quickly, Cam, because I reckon you'll have an opinion on it. We saw the divisional matches in the NFL yesterday and on Sunday. They were 4 of the most amazing games.
Best
just
ever.
Give me a 30-second précis on what happened yesterday.
The most hectic games we've ever seen. That Kansas City-Buffalo game will go down in history as the best game of all time. And Mahomes is going to win another Super Bowl.
3 lead changes in the last minute, and a minute 50, I think it was, goes to
seconds.
Extra time. What about the extra time rule? So it goes to extra time, and it's a flip of a coin. Would that be about right, about what
yes,
happened?
Yes, flip of the coin, but one word to say, defense always wins.
LA Rams, are they a chance?
Yes, they'll make the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you think it'll be LA Rams versus Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, fair enough.
Most boring game in the world.
I've got to be honest with you, KG. I thought it was absolutely fantastic yesterday. And the other thing I'll say...
It goes too long.
It doesn't go too long. It's shorter than an AFL game.
Oh, God.
I know that there's a bit up before and after, but it is honestly shorter than an AFL game.
I respect the gentleman's opinion.
Well, I'll tell you what, very quickly, we're going to go to a break. On the other side, we're going to be catching up with Todd Withers. The Adelaide 36ers went down by 9 last night. Looking forward to hearing from him. You're listening to Sports Day. Don't go away.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Thanks for your time. You're talking with Ben Hook and Ken KG Cunningham. Text line is 0437 693 060. And if you want to have a give us a call, feel free to do so. 8223 0000. Tyre Power's big holiday sale is now on. Save on selected Kumho passenger and SUV tyres. Buy three, get one free at Tyre Power. Well, KG, the Adelaide 36ers were back in action last night against the Illawarra Hawks. I can't believe that game. I have watched the 36ers since I was 10 years old. So what are we talking about? That's 30-something years.
A long time.
Back at Apollo Stadium, I saw them play. I saw them at the Adelaide Arena and now, of course, at the Entertainment Centre. I haven't seen one bloke who I didn't think was necessarily up for it fire 8 of 10 three-pointers like Harry Froling did last night. I was surprised. I wonder if our next guest is as well. His name is Todd Withers. He's the American import for the Adelaide 36ers. He's an absolute jet and we really appreciate his time. Todd Withers, welcome to Sports Day.
Hey, how you doing?
Todd, we are really well. Harry Froling. Now, can you believe this big bloke plays in the centre, he jacks up 10 three-pointers and makes 8 of them. What's going on?
Man, I was talking to him during the game. I was like, dang, I didn't know you could shoot like that. he went 100% for, I think, the first half. So, I mean, hand in his face and everything. He just couldn't miss. He was going unconscious for a nice little minute.
We should have knocked him unconscious. Let him going unconscious. Todd, what about the 36ers? We're playing our game in patches. Would that be a fair call?
Yeah. Like we have stretches where we look really, really good. Then we have stretches where we look stagnant, or we turn the ball over and stuff like that. We're just now starting to get every single person back on our team healthy. Like Sunday's only played 2 games.
How good was he?
So, it's like amazing having him on the court. It helps us out a lot, and it's just gelling together. Guys like Kyle Soto stepping up and getting more minutes, and guys like Mojave King and Dusty, getting up his shots and getting his makes and attempts up and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think it's more so like gelling together and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't for the most part. But I feel like we had a lot of time. I feel like it's just a little stepping stone. It's the little things, pretty.
15 points for you, Todd. You must be very pleased with the way you're settling in here to Adelaide.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm actually, this is the most comfortable I think I've ever been in another country outside of the States. And, they make it really easy for me to just go out there and play as hard as I possibly can without having to worry about anything off the court.
Todd, what happened at that third quarter? At halftime, it was 50-45 at the big break. What happened in that third quarter? They blew us away.
Yeah, they came out and it seemed like everybody started hitting after a while. We tried to take the slips away, and then they'd kick it to the corner and somebody would make a three. Or, they have a lot of weapons, especially guys like Tyler Harvey and guys like that. It's kind of hard to shut everybody down. So you try to take some of their weapons away and, guys step up like Froling, guys like that, where you try to take away like the Tyler, the Jessups, try to take X away, or Cleveland, the imports and stuff like that. Then those other guys, it gives them that chance to step up, and he stepped up.
You made the point that you really feel like you're settling in well here in Australia. You played some basketball in Italy last year, so just describe some of the similarities between basketball here and in Italy, and perhaps some of the differences as well. I imagine there are a few culturally different things between Australian and Italian ball.
The real big difference is like the language barrier. Here, of course, I could just talk to my coach, and, you know, it's free-flowing conversation versus in Italy sometimes my coach would say something to me, and I'm like, I don't know what he said. I had to ask a teammate or something like that. But some of the same things that go on are, like, the no three-second call on defense where bigs are, you know, clogging the paint, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Really, really strong guards in Europe and in Italy. So, I mean, there's very, very talented guards in this league. Like, some of the most talented guards I've seen in a while outside of, like, the G League and stuff like that. So, guard play in Europe and guard really, really, I think it's really, really good. I think the bigs out here are a lot better than bigs in Europe just because they're so versatile, like guys like DJ Johnson who can post up and step out to the three. You're not going to see too many of those in Italy from what I've seen, but this just how versatile the bigs are here, it just makes it that much better of a league.
Todd, what's the time on Isaac Humphries? How long will he be off duty?
I have no clue. I really don't ask too many questions, I guess you could say. I have his back. That's my guy. I love Isaac. He's probably one of the nicest teammates we have on the team. So, you know, hopefully it's a speedy recovery, and hopefully he can get back on the court so we can get out there and have some fun again. But I have no clue on the time limit on what things will be.
We thought we were talking to Dr. Todd Withers of the Adelaide 36ers, exactly. But apparently it's the small forward Todd Withers of the Adelaide 36ers. Hey, one thing I noticed from last night's game, and you know, there's always green shoots and there's always positives, and it's a very, very new team, a lot of new personnel for the Adelaide 36ers, but I thought there were some real sights of you and Sunday Dech having a real good combination, a real good understanding. Some of the passing between you two was exceptional. Did you feel like you're developing a real relationship with him on court?
Oh, absolutely. In the preseason, we played really, really well together. It was like a 1-2 punch, honestly. And it felt really, really good to get him back on the court. Cause I know what he's going to give me on the defensive end as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm somebody who tries to do as much as I can on defensive end. He does as well. So, you know, if we can get each other going offensively, I think that's only going to make the team better. He takes really, really good shots. He doesn't force. And saying to me, I'll pass before I take up a bad shot. So I think me and him being on the court together a lot is going to be really, really helpful for the team. I enjoy playing with Sunday. I think he's a really, really good teammate.
Exactly.
So I enjoy it.
And after a couple of losses, massive game against the Jack Jumpers on Friday.
Yep. Yeah, we look to go in there and whoop them. we got a lot of anger built up. But I can't wait. To get back on the court again. Everybody hates losing, and you know we always take something from a loss. Definitely a learning experience. But I mean, I think it's only going to fuel the fire for whoever we play next. So I mean, I hope I'm not the only one who's saying this, but I can't wait to get out there and whoop them. Honestly,
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Todd Withers, we're very excited to have you part of the Adelaide 36ers, and we're very grateful for your time here on Sports Day today. Thanks very much for your time, and go well on Friday night. Whoop those Jack Jumpers.
Yeah, I got you. Don't worry about it.
Todd Withers there, our guest from the Adelaide 36ers. What a star he is. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. KG, I've watched the 36ers for so long. I mean, back in the days, as I said, when they were playing at Apollo Stadium, I just feel like we are building something. Oh. Yes, it's a bit wobbly. But a bit wobbly? Well, we've had so much time off. We had that great result against Perth, a couple of disappointing losses. We'll bounce back against the Jack Jumpers, and I think we'll find a way to make the finals.
Like that third quarter, we got smashed. You can't have time.
It was a very disappointing quarter, and I'm still just leaning on the fact that when Harry Froling makes 8 3-pointers, you've had a night out of the box.
Can we get Harry Froling on the phone, have a chat to him?
I'm explaining that one. Yeah, well, he's a former Adelaide 36er as well. Lumo SA, Aussie-owned and energy plans and a great local awards made for Adelaide. We're off to a break on the other side. We're catching up with young cyclist Maeve Plouffe. Don't go away.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on Sports Day. It's Ben, Hook and KG. We're in the final term. Play Keno from only $1 a game with a draw every few minutes. There's always time for a spot of Keno. Play today, gamble responsibly. Well, KG, the last 3 days has been the Santos Festival of Cycling.
Yep.
Unbelievable course that's been set up by our very own Stuart O'Grady. Set the bar high for all of the road cyclists.
And the hot weather.
And one of our very own, Maeve Plouffe, of course, won the stage that was into Echunga yesterday and held on for third place overall today. It's an outstanding performance from someone who has cut her teeth on track cycling. So to stand up against the best roadies around Australia is a wonderful performance.
Fantastic.
And Maeve Plouffe joins us now. Maeve, welcome to Sports Day.
Thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations. You must be really pleased with what you've achieved the last 3 days.
Yeah, honestly, I went into the event not even really thinking I would focus on the GC or even on winning stages. I thought I was going to go in as a more of a worker rider, especially after getting COVID just before our national title.
Gee.
So to come out, you know, after having 12 days in my room, to then have a week off and then come back and, you know, be winning stages, I was so excited, and it was unexpected, and I'm really glad.
You're nobody these days unless you've had COVID, Maeve. It's like the cool thing to do these days.
Yeah.
Hey, Ruby Roseman Gannon, she's the winner. Nicole Frayne, runner-up. I mean, Nicole Frayne is the national champion on the road. Ruby Roseman Gannon, I mean, her qualifications are self-evident. You must be really pleased that you've mixed it with the top end of town on the road.
Absolutely, and there are a lot of other incredible names on the list. You know, we had riders like Amanda Spratt and Grace Brown and things like that, and the top teams, you know, everyone, those two riders are either pro right now or have been pro in the past. So for me, coming from an amateur team, I was so proud of my team today to help me get up there and go for those stage wins and go for that GC, because I was really proud of how we stood up against those pro teams. We weren't intimidated and we still went for it. So that's incredibly exciting and it's really promising for this coming season.
Maeve, can I go back to the beginning? What got you involved in cycling? What was the big interest from your point of view?
Honestly, my family don't ride. I was actually doing a lot of open water swimming and surf lifesaving. So I was definitely athletic.
Yep.
And then I got moved into cycling from the Sassy Talent ID program. So they identified that I might be a good cyclist. They actually got me on the track, tried me out, and I absolutely loved it. I wasn't particularly good at it, so I had to spend a few years trying to get good, and it took a long time before I made teams, to be really honest. And I had a little bit of help from triathlon team on the way, but you know, being in Adelaide is the perfect place to be a road cyclist, so... and a track rider. So I just slowly worked my way up and made the national team, I think it was 2 years ago.
I need to make an admission of guilt here. I mean, I'm not particularly courageous, but a long, long time ago, I rode a tandem bike around the Adelaide Velodrome with Shane Kelly, and I've never been so terrified in all my life. And he was being rather cheeky, to be honest. He was taking me right up the top, and we were coming down. You know, it was. I had motion sickness on the back of a bike. I mean, you've never heard of that. What was the experience like for you the first time getting on that wooden velodrome, where it's 44 degrees that slope? It is quite something that you need to get your head around for a while before you're comfortable with it, I would imagine.
It truly is so steep, and I don't think a lot of people realise, because from TV, you know, you can't really tell the exact angles, but if you go up and walk next to a track, like, you can't walk up it.
Mm.
It's pretty much a wall. So, it is. It does take a lot of courage to get on the first time. I don't think I went particularly high the first time I got on the track. I've actually taken a couple of young juniors out to try it before, and they've always amazed me on how quickly they get it and how quickly they can go up on the blue line and even higher, you know. So I wasn't quite as good, but I think once you realise the fear of, you know, not slipping down, you just don't look down. Even nowadays, I don't look down when I'm at the very top.
Maeve, what about comparing track and road? Will you concentrate on both or just the one from here?
It's pretty tricky to pick because I am quite young in my career.
Yep.
I would definitely love to pursue road at some point. I think it's especially women's road is really, you know, increasing spectators and value lately, so, and I'm loving seeing it grow. So I think I'm coming into the road scene at a great time.
Yep.
The women in the past have really set it up, and now it's incredible, and so many people watching and taking interest. So that's definitely really exciting, and I want to be a part of that. I think there is such a short turnaround until the Paris Olympics.
Yes.
So I will definitely focus on track, but that's not to say I don't want to do tours such as like the Santos Festival of Cycling. And, you know, I'd love to go over to Europe and do some road racing and things like that. So I'll pounce on any opportunities where they come, because any exposure is good. And they do complement each other, you know, having that road fitness and that sprint on the road is great on the track, and vice versa.
Well, you're going to need to be versatile, Maeve, because I noticed that over the last couple of days, Stewie O'Grady has put you over dirt and gravel as well, the cheeky sod. I mean, you've got to be versatile to be able to win a stage or finish third in the Festival of Cycling, because there's all sorts of surfaces underneath you that you've got to ride over.
Oh, absolutely. Today was tough. We had kilometres and kilometres of gravel. I was pretty happy with how I positioned myself in the gravel, you know, up in the top few towards the end there. But it was tricky, and not only were they gravel stages, but I'm not sure how much the TV really showed, but they were pretty steep. Yesterday was a very steep gravel climb. So that definitely makes it a lot harder. And today, you know, we had a hill in the last 2K of the race, which was quite hard. We had Queen of the Mountain points in the last 2K. So you definitely have to be a really versatile rider to do these shorter, sharper stages. They are shorter, but I think the elevation gain within those short stages is actually quite significant, and there's less time to recover between sprints, between Queen of the Mountain classifications, and between really aggressive attacks.
Gee, Maeve, those road cyclists, they are gutsy people. They come off at speed like you wouldn't believe. Does that ever cross your mind, that coming off in a straight head first into the bitumen?
Oh, a little bit. There's
a little bit? I'd be petrified.
Sketchy moments. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. There's been a couple of sketchy moments in the peloton this week. A few crashes that I've seen or been behind or been around. I've seen some interesting riding. But I think that's mostly because it's been the first big race back other than nationals. So everyone was a little bit jittery and nervous, especially on that really cold, wet, rainy day at the start. You know, people were sliding all over the road. So I was really lucky I didn't get caught up in anything this week. It's all about positioning and where you are and what wheels you're on. So I fortunately didn't get caught up in anything. But it is a huge possibility, and it's something that road riders have to learn. It's a great possibility, and you have to be able to accept that.
But Maeve, I've got to say, yesterday, unbelievable what you did. You maybe spent so much petrol that it was going to be always difficult for you to challenge today. But I think you're involved in every sprint. You were second in one, you were first in another, and then just blew the field away to win yesterday. Firstly, you must have been so delighted. But does that amount of petrol you spent, did you struggle just that little bit today?
I don't think it was a product of yesterday. I think being able to recover after the stages, that's not something that's worrying. I think today it was just simply the nature of the course. You know, it was the same amount of elevation, but it, rather than being all at the start or all at the end, it was just spread consistently throughout the race. And then we also had a lot of really aggressive and really, harsh attacks throughout, and plus the gravel. You know, some sections were flat, but they're gravel, so you've got the pressure on. So I think today, the only way I would have won the sprint today is if it wasn't easy. If it was an easy race, and if we went up the climbs easy, but being the final stage in the tour, like, that's not going to happen. And we're actually two riders down today in our team, so it just meant that there was a little bit less riders to share the load for bridging attacks and shutting down moves and staying on Bike Exchange and some of the other top teams. So it was really challenging, and it was probably more on the defensive today. But, you know, a hill in the last 2 kilometres, my goal was just to stay in that top group over that last hill and then see what I had in the sprint at the end. And unfortunately, I didn't have anything, but I don't think I can kick myself too much, because Queen of the Mountain in the last 2 kilometres is never going to suit me. I've just Yeah, so I definitely gave it my best crack, though.
Maeve, you've done outstandingly well. We're so proud of you. Congratulations in particular on yesterday, the stage win. I know how much that meant to you. But to finish third overall in a part of the sport that you're still, I guess, learning and honing your craft, it's an amazing achievement. We're very proud of you. Congratulations, and thanks for your time on Sports Day.
Thank you so much.
Maeve Plouffe there, the South Australian track cyclist who's jumped onto the road and done outstandingly well, Cage.
They are dead set mad.
She was talking about it being tough going up the hill on the gravel. Don't give me the downhill on the hard stuff. That is just frightening, is it not?
I've seen some crashes in my time. Stuart O'Grady was involved in a couple of horrific smashes, and they hit the concrete. They hit the bitumen.
I'll tell you the story about what Shane Kelly did to me on that track one day too. It's probably for after hours.
What could you
do with $5,000? Thanks to My Money House, you could win $5,000. Cash. For details of your chance to win, visit iCanWin.com.au. My Money House, empowering people to live life on their terms. Well, KG, that wraps us up not only for today, but also for tomorrow, can you believe?
Oh, that's right. Holiday tomorrow.
Public holiday tomorrow, the 26th. So enjoy the day off. And you don't get many days off because you work basically every day of the week.
Exactly. So I'm going to enjoy a nice little barbecue,
yep.
Have a nice little glass of Sauvignon Blanc, and work tomorrow morning.
And we will see you back here on Thursday. And we'll be talking to all of you as well. Thank you.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.